But in the midst of it all, in the midst of destruction, in the midst of all this mess, there is people that we love. There is people that we pray for. There is our sons, there are daughters, our friends, our relatives, our brothers and our sisters, blood brothers, blood sisters, that we are seeing they are dying. And what are we doing about it? What are we going to be doing about it? That in the midst of the storm, we realize that just like Noah, he knew the storm is coming. We knew the storm is coming. But he was trying to get people saved. He was trying to get people into the ark. He was trying to do everything possible and impossible to make people believe that the storm is coming, the rain is coming, but they would not believe. And the Bible says that just like in the days of Noah, they wouldn't pay attention to what he was saying because they did not think. They did not think that the judgment is coming. And the same thing is today. The society does not believe in the judgment that is coming. And there was a preacher years ago that had told that if it would have been in my power, I would have forced people to come and give their hearts to the Lord. And this is what we would have done. We would do it gladly. We would push people into the ark if we could do, isn't it? Those that we love, those that we believe should be saved. Well, we believe that everybody is supposed to be saved, but those that are close to us, close to our hearts, our brothers, our sisters, our children, we pray for them and we want them to get saved. And we would happily push them into the ark and shut the door behind them, that they will have no way to escape. But the truth is that we cannot do that. Someone has to walk into an ark of salvation by himself. It's their choice. It's their choice. And at the same time, and in the midst of everything that is happening, in the midst of unavoided destruction of the nations, unavoided destruction of the nation, we see that the Lord is looking for someone to do something. We're seeing that the Lord is looking for someone to rebuild the wall that will restrain the unrighteousness and the wickedness. He's looking for someone who will stand and do something and pray. And begin to seek and seek the face of the Lord. And just as a picture of what it is like, remember in the book of Esther, Esther has been captured into the slavery, what you say, how would you put it? And she was rescued by Mordechai, and she was placed eventually into the king's palace, and she became a queen. She became a queen. And then the time passes by when the threat of death had hanged over the whole Jewish society, over all of Jewish people. And the Mordechai is writing a letter to Esther. And he's saying that you go and make a petition before the king for the sake of your people. You go and make a petition. You go. And in the other words, he said, you go and you beg the king to spare us from the threat of death. And she's sending a letter back to him, and she's saying, you know, I'm a wrong person to ask. And she said, I haven't been called to the presence of God, to the presence of the king, rather, for 30 days. And you know, if I walk into the presence of a king and he does not stretch his hand toward me, I will be dead. In the other words, she's a type of a Christian today. He said, I know you're dying. I know you're dying. I know the whole world is going to hell. I know the country is on the way to collapse. But what can I do about it? I know my people are dying. I know that they're going to be going to hell. I know that there is no way that I can force them to salvation. So what do I have to do with this? She is writing off to Mordechai and saying, I'm the wrong person to ask. I can't do that. And at the same time, she's the only one that has the access to the throne of God. And Esther is a type of a Christian today. We have the access to the throne of God. There is no one else that could walk into the throne room of God himself. There is no one else in our midst that is not walking with Christ, who has a right to come into the very presence of Christ himself and stand before the throne of God and beg God for mercy. But at the same time, we're just like Ruth. we're looking around and we're saying, you know, I'm not a pastor. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not even a leader. I'm barely Christian myself. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to do. And we're finding all of these excuses to justify ourselves sitting on the side and seeing the destruction of our loved ones. We are looking at ourselves and saying, I don't have what it takes to get the people saved. I don't have what it takes for God to answer my cry. We look at ourselves as such an insignificance, and we say, you know, no, that's really not my responsibility. I can't stand against such a giant as this. I can't stand against the whole world, and the world is being destructed. What can I do? The only thing I have to is provide for my family, for myself, and to run into the shelter. And Mordechai is writing to Esther, and he's saying, remember. Remember the days of your youth. Remember that you have been spared. Remember that you have been spared because someone cared. Because someone decided that even though they have no right, even though they have no power, they have no strength, they decided to try. And you are there, the queen, today in the queen palace. Don't think you're going to escape this. How can you live? In the Hebrew context, it's interesting. He said, how can you live your life? How can you live your life knowing that your nation has perished? How could you live your life knowing that your loved ones are going to hell? He said, you could not do that. And he reminds her of the things that have happened to her. And he said, you go. And you pray. And a lot of times we look at ourselves as so insignificant and we think our prayer wouldn't matter at all. It would if we pray. It would if we pray. How often in the scripture we see God speaking that it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by the Spirit of God. How many times in the scripture we see this simple pattern? It's you trust God, you believe God, and God will do the rest. How many times in the Bible we see that God is saying, don't trust yourself, trust God. Don't lean upon your own understandings, but trust God. And we think, I can't do anything. My prayer really doesn't matter, doesn't do much. But it does. My prayer has the key to unlock the door for salvation for those that are dear to me. And we don't have the time to go into all of the details, but just think, I just mentioned this earlier on the morning services, just think of this 5,000 people that are hungry. 5,000 people that are hungry. Men that are hungry. A mob that is hungry. And Jesus is telling, you go and feed them. Jesus is speaking to us in this parable. Says, see this world around you is hungry for Christ. Is hungry for God, is crying out to me. You go and feed them. And we may come and says, Lord, we don't have the money to feed them. And even if we would have had the money, we don't have the food. It's not working. We're such a small church. We're so insignificant. You know, I can't do anything. I don't have the resources to reach the whole world. I don't have the resources to do anything. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of this doubt and unbelief, comes a little boy. And he comes to Jesus and he gives Jesus what he has. And he's giving him a little bit of bread that is a symbol of prayer. A little bit of fishes. And he said, Jesus, I don't really know how you're going to do it. You have asked us to feed them. This is all I've got. I'm not hiding it. I don't know how you're going to do that. But all I do is I'm giving it to you in faith. My little bit of prayer, my little bit of faith for the sake of those that I love. A little bit of prayer and a little bit of faith that I'm come to you with, asking you to take it and multiply it to the way that it will feed the hungry soul. I don't know how to reach the heart, but you do. I don't know how to feed the mob of 5,000 people with this little bit of bread and little bit of fish that I've got, but you know how. And he's giving it to Jesus. And Jesus takes that little bit of things that is insignificant in the eyes of anybody. The logic will laugh at it. But he gets this little bit of fish and little bit of bread and multiplies to the way that it feeds the multitudes of people. The little bit of a prayer that I have that comes from within my heart, and a little bit of faith that it comes with a prayer into the throne of God, just like Esther walking into the throne of God before God himself, bringing this, said, I don't know how to save them. I don't know the ways to the heart of those people. They don't want to listen to me. I've tried. I've tried everything. They don't want to hear me. I've loved them. I've shown compassion to them. I've shown mercy to them. But they don't hear me. They are blind. They are deaf. And I can't do anything. Jesus, but here is word of God. There is a little bit of faith that I have. There is a mustard seed faith that I have. And there's just a little bit of my prayer to you. Take it and feed them. Take it and save them. And stand there before the presence of God, believing God. The prayer of one lady, what to say, one person, had changed the course of a whole nation. Why can't we believe that our prayer could change the course of this nation? Why could not we believe that my prayer is important to God? The prayer that comes with unbelief does not reach the throne of God. But the prayer that comes with a mustard seed of faith, knowing that God can, could do so much. Could do so much. There is so much that I would like to share, but there is one particular place of a scripture that I would like to end with, and we will pray. All I believe the Lord is saying is it is time to pray. It is time to pray. It's time to stop talking about it. It's not time to discuss how. It's just time to get into the throne of God and plead God for salvation and plead God for mercies and believe God that he's gonna hear our crying. In the book of Numbers, chapter 16, verse 41, the nation of Israel is being destructed again by the wrath of God. But on the next day, the whole community of Israelites murmured against Moses and Aaron, saying, "You have killed the Lord's people." When the community assembled against Moses and Aaron, they turned toward the tent of a meeting, and the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Then Moses and Aaron stood before the tent of the meeting. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Get away from this community so that I can consume them in an instant." But they threw themselves down with their faces on the ground. They threw themselves down on their faces on the ground because they loved the people. It would have not mattered for Moses to stand against, stood aside and do what the Lord is telling him. The Lord has commanded him to move. We're saved. We're in the safe harbor. We know that our names are being written in the God's book of life. And we could just find ourselves in the corner and say, "God, destroy this nation." We are saved. You can destroy this nation. But Moses and Aaron threw themselves on the face before God. And then Moses said to Aaron, "Take the censer, put burning coals from the altar. Place the incense in it, and go quickly into the assembly and make atonement for them. For the wrath has gone out from the Lord, the plague has begun." So Aaron did as Moses commanded and ran into the middle of assembly where the plague was just beginning among the people. So he placed incense on the coals and made atonement for the people. He stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stopped. Can we stand between the dead and the living today? Can we stand with the incense before the Lord our prayers? Can we believe that God would honor something like Moses and Aaron done in the ancient time that God would honor it today. Can we believe it? We have a choice. We could sit and look at the destruction, or we could run, get a prayer, run into the presence of God and make an atonement for our own people, for our nation, for our countries, and trusting God for a new thing, for mercies. God is looking for one who can stand in before the throne of God and plead for his nation. Can we not do that? Can we see that God is rising a cry in the nation? Cry for prayer. It's time to pray. It's time to pray, not to sit. We have a choice to sit down and look at the destruction or get on our knees and pray. And pray. And pray. Until we see the mercies of God arises again. Father, I don't know how deep this word can go. It penetrated my heart. It penetrates my soul. Lord Jesus, I know. I know that it's never about us. It's all about you. It's never about us. It's all about you, Jesus. Lord, we can do anything. Lord, how can we even think that we can save a nation? We can never do that. But is there anything that is impossible to you, Jesus? Is there anything that you cannot do, Father? Lord Jesus, would you place a master seed of faith into our heart to believe you once again? Would you place a master seed of faith, Lord, in our hearts, Lord, to believe for your mercies again? That things can change. That things can change. Lord, you're looking for one who can stand and rebuild this wall, who can run in between the dead and the living with the incense of prayer, and that you can stop the destruction that is bringing such a pain to your heart. Father, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you for the grace of God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the loving kindness of your nature, of your heart. And we pray for the loved ones. Lord, we bring them to you. And we believe you again for their salvation. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.